Thursday, for those who came in late. I see you, Jimmy. I can't miss you. I love you, buddy. Okay, cool. So the last two sessions, I keep kind of plugging this Bema discipleship. And I want to explain a little bit better than I did last week. I didn't have a whole lot of time, but Bema discipleship is a podcast that I listen to on a regular basis. And if you're not careful, you can get carried away on it. Kind of get too. When we approach the text, especially from an Eastern perspective, we're supposed to chew on the text. We're supposed to wrestle with it. I talked about our Western mindset and how we like bullet points and nice conclusions and endings to stories and points to be made. But the Eastern mind is a little bit more like they think in pictures and they just approach text a little bit differently. And plus they have all these years and years and years and years of rabbinical teaching. I've always kind of liked to take a look at things from an Eastern perspective with my Western mind has really opened up a lot in Scripture, at least to my understanding and my greater knowledge. It started off with Ray Vanderland. I started watching these videos back in the 90s or early 2000s where he would take trips out to Israel, and he's a historian, and he's also a theologian, and he's also a rabbi, and he would also apply the Old Testament text to the actual locations, like Jacob's Well, and things like that. So, and I'm very visual, so that really kind of makes everything kind of pop for me. Talked about how listening to music, if you were a piano player and you were to Old MacDonald Had a Farm, everybody knows that song, right? But if you were just to play the bass notes, just your left hand, you might not be able to recognize the song. It's going to have rhythm involved. It's going to have the bass notes. But that's kind of providing a color for the melody to lay on top of, which is your right hand. And so having an Eastern mind and a Western mind, when they come together, it just makes for a beautiful music. So, and I had to spend 2 weeks in the Old Testament to kind of set up some of this stuff, but I'm really, really enjoy the teachings of Jesus. On top of that, I'm a gardener, and this is a gardening type time of year. But I grow some beautiful zinnias. This is my cattle panel arch that's going up with gourds and green beans and giant sunflowers. We've got tomatoes coming up over here. I've got onions and corn coming up over here. So I just got a lot. I really enjoy gardening. You guys remember last year I brought a lot of plants. I was trying to get involved with the church garden this year, but that's not cool. I got a lorem ipsum. So if y'all see any of that stuff in the website, let me know. I need to fix that, okay? But I did this morning, sitting on my back deck, enjoying some coffee. It was a beautiful morning. So I've talked about the Eastern mindset, rabbinical teaching. I'm a gardener. I love Rabbi Jesus teaching, especially the parables. There's so much in the parables that just make it it's just clear. The teaching of Jesus comes alive in his parables. And we're going to find, I'm not going to get into it too much this week, but there's a mechanism, and I don't want to say formula or prescription, but to Jewish parables. I'm going to call that Jewish hermeneutics. And what this Jewish hermeneutic is going to do is it's going to teach us how to interact with the teachings of a Jewish rabbi. And we all know a very famous Jewish rabbi. We enjoyed the Lord's Supper in his honor today, right? His name is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so we're going to talk about, we're going to read today. And I'm going to get somebody to read. So we're going to open up to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Oh, hermeneutic. We use this big word, right? Has everybody heard of the word hermeneutic? Exegesis. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of some weird words, and we don't necessarily think about them when we're as a Christian. It's like, oh, now you have to know what your hermeneutic is and exegesis, but this is what a hermeneutic is. It's concerning interpretation, especially of the Bible or literary text, or in a noun, it's a method or theory of interpretation, okay? We all come to the Bible with our own worldview, and so this is just kind of another approach to that theory of interpretation, okay? So, somebody got Matthew 13? Go. 1 through 23, please. Somebody. Go ahead, Bill.
Same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whosoever has ears, let them hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whosoever will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whosoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whosoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand.
Chapter 23. Okay, yep, 23.
In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Then the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
23. I think you're getting close. Is that it? Okay. Thank you. So how many in here? You got me kind of hot. I see. Okay. We could. I like that because it kind of goes quiet during those times, doesn't it? Yeah. All right, so if listening online and it gets quiet, it's because one of y'all are talking. how many of us have heard this called the parable of the sower? Okay. I have, and I think that it can still apply, but I'm maybe going to slide it a little bit towards. It's called the parable of the soils, actually. I don't know what your NIV says there at the top, but it's... It's a parable of the soils. I mean, even Jesus even says so at the end. This lesson is about the soil and how it receives the seed. Actually, God is the sower in this story. And if you look at the variable here is the soil. It's not the sower. okay? So just to kind of a maybe kind of turn you a little bit, you thought it was about the sower. Yeah, because it's got somebody put a heading. But we know that the scrolls of didn't have a little title. They didn't even have, Brandon taught us this, didn't even have the verses. Or in Hebrew, doesn't even have punctuation. I'm not going to disagree with you. Yeah. Correct. And that's the way that probably 100% of us have learned this at one time or another. I'm not going to disagree with that because I still think it's applicable. But here's where I'm going to challenge you a little bit, and we're supposed to wrestle with the word, is that parables are not meant to tell you what you already know, what might be. It's not a reaffirmation of the things that we already believe, okay? Parables were designed. Every parable a Jewish rabbi tells is, it's told to challenge the hearer. It's so that we can be changed. It's to give us to something to wrestle with. Something that causes us to be different. To provoke us. To be changed. To be refined. Okay? And so, I totally agree with you. We know that when we're out sowing seed that there's going to be people that don't hear. Jesus tells us don't cast our pearls to the swine, right? So I'm not going to disagree with that. That's the great thing about Scripture is that it's so multifaceted. Only God could design that sort of thing to me. So we're cool for now. All right, so, okay, yeah, every parable a Jewish rabbi tells us to challenge the hearer, to be changed, to wrestle with the text, to provoke, to refine, okay. And so Jesus, not unlike other rabbis, follows this four-part template, and it's very common. And it's typically, in the Talmud and the Mishnah, it's four different learners. We don't read the Talmud, we don't read the Mishnah, but this is Jewish rabbinical teaching that kind of explains that this is about the four types of learners. And in fact, in the Mishnah and the Talmud, the four learners are sponge, funnel, a strainer, and a sieve. And then there's another teaching about the four learners, which is quick learner, slow doer, quick learner, quick doer, slow learner, quick doer, slow learner, slow doer, okay? And so the difference in the sponge takes in everything and it keeps everything. The funnel, it takes in everything but loses everything. The strainer, and I don't understand how a strainer operates any differently from a sieve. So I was trying to think of maybe a garden example where we're actually maybe sifting out the bigger chunks. So, but anyway, the fellow that I'm following here is Marty Solomon. He's a Jesus following rabbi. He says that a strainer takes in everything but keeps the bad. And it's not just him saying it. It's the rabbinical teaching that says this. He's just presenting it to us. The sieve takes in everything but keeps the good. Okay, so the point of the story is, what are you doing with what you're learning? That's the point. What type of soil are you? Are you a sponge? Do you like to soak everything up and keep it all, the good and the bad? Are you a funnel? You just lose everything? Are you a strainer? The one you want to be is the sieve. You want to take in everything, but keep the good. Okay? And what's interesting here about this template, this hermeneutic is, and we're going to get into it next week a lot more, I promise. This is going to be a little bit of a cliffhanger. I'm going to get you out of here on time, Dads, because we've got to go watch that movie Maverick this afternoon. Yeah. I can't wait. It's supposed to be my birthday present, so it was good. Did you go to the real expensive one with the... I can't afford it. I can't afford the gas to get there. We'll talk after. But you want to be the sieve. You want to be the slow learner, slow doer, I think, as this is what it applies here. I'm not sure if that's correct. But the rabbi doesn't have to ask a question when he presents a story like this, because the parable already did the work for him, and a Jewish listener would have understood that. The question is implied. Question is which one are you, okay? Okay. There are four different souls here, right? Let's do a little bit of a review. The point is not that you're the sower, although I think it can apply, but which soul are you? And how are you receiving the seed that God is sowing in your life? That's the point. So, four different soils. What's the first type of soil? Path. What's kind of an attribute of the path? Very hard. Not tilled, right? Exposed. I like that. That's my hiker back there. Yeah. What does Jesus tell us that path is? He kind of compares it to someone and says it is someone who... they don't understand, right? And then the evil one snatches it away. What's the second type of soil? Rocky. And... well, it's got rocks in it, right? Ask Nate how it's like to till up the garden over here that used to be a house foundation. I've been out there checking out the garden, and he can't get a stick too far in the ground to stake his tomatoes up because of all the rocks in the soil, okay? So what does it say about the rock? What does Jesus, how does he explain the rocky soil? They don't put down roots, right? They can't put down deep roots. We have a third type of soil. It's thorny. What does it say about thorny?
The cares of this age.
They worry. They worry about the problems of this world. They're pursuing the good life, right? Not the good life, right? And so... which one are you? Which soul type are you? And I just love this, because the disciples, they're like going, "Hey, Jesus, wait a second. Why are you teaching these people in parables, right? These parables can kind of be complicated." And as we start to kind of unfold this this way to approach, a methodical way of approaching these parables, They're curious. Why would you explain this stuff in a parable to these folks? And they understand that this is what rabbis do. But why? Why is Jesus making this more complicated than it needs to be, right? And he gives us a passage right out of Isaiah 6, right? And in fact, it kind of sounds like the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand," right? The winds and the waves come, and the foolish man's house washes away. And he sums that up by basically saying, those who hear put it into practice as the wise man. So we want to be the wise man. We want to be wise in Jesus' eyes. So essentially, And I'll pause here for some comment, because I think it could kind of get interesting, is that essentially Jesus says, I'm teaching them in parables so they won't understand. You can read that, and it's pretty much kind of says that. Any thoughts there? I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to know your text.
Well, it gives you an opportunity to think about what kind of soil am I going to choose? Who am I going to be? What am I going to do with these words? What am I going to do with, you know, we made this effort to come out here by the lake, away from town, away from all our security and all this other distraction.
So many, he's got to get launched out off the shore. But why not explain it that way? I mean, why not? Why wouldn't he have just been just clear cut and dry?
It would have been probably, if he had been in America, that probably would have been the way
he could. Exactly. Exactly. In a Western world, Jesus, he wouldn't have been a great teacher. Because our teachers today want the 95 percentile. We want to graduate all of our students, and that's how we're measured. But Jesus doesn't care about our measuring rods. Yes.
Parables compared to David, when Jonathan, Nathan, when he sent the guy to the front to basically kill him off,
oh.
He could have Delilah, and his friend said, came to him and said, well, this guy had one lamb, and it's like David couldn't see until he got this other story. So it's, I feel like that to me is what parables are. You don't see in your own life what's going on, but if you get a story, you get an application, you get something that means something to you, and if these people were farmers, this would have been very applicable to their lives, and they would have understood it. I don't think Jesus didn't want them to understand.
Sure.
I think Jesus is trying to help them understand, because just telling somebody something doesn't always work. They don't grasp it, especially if it's totally new.
That's right. Well, some people have got that ring on that Nate was talking about, right? And their vision gets a little cloudy, right? The Fellowship of the Rings. Trying to tie in something earlier today, okay. Yes, hold on.
You're addressing people of the land in terms they would understand, they can relate to, and get the message that you're trying to...
Maybe. I mean, if you really wanted to get it, why wouldn't you just explain it like Bill did? Why would you tell this story that makes me have to kind of...
Maybe they didn't have to. Maybe they were people of the land who got that concept more than anything else, and he spoke in their language of understanding for them to go, well, that makes sense. I don't find my...
I think what it does is, and I'm going to explore here in just a minute, is it gives them an opportunity to change their mind. Yeah. Christina. Absolutely.
A lot of times when Scripture says though they're seeing, they don't see, and hearing, they don't hear.
Yes.
He was addressing them.
That's right. They've chosen to close their eyes. They've chosen to not hear. They've closed them because if they opened them, they would see. They would have to be accountable for that.
Thing I was thinking of, at different times in our lives, we can be different soils, because there are...
Yes.
Sometimes we have to till the soil a little bit, you know, ground up the roots.
That's right.
And the thorns and stuff, and prepare the soil to be...
Bring in some hedge clippers sometimes. My neighbor threw some of his old decking material off in the back corner of his yard, and so its briars have come up through that, and poison ivy and poison oak. And so my first approach to that, I'm trying to help him out, was to take, because I've got a bunch of Roundup and stuff. I keep my driveway pretty clear. And I went over there and started spraying, because until I sprayed that off, I didn't know what was underneath that. And then once I got that, we were able to pull that wood out, left the stickers. I probably got a few cuts on me because of the stickers. But then that's next. Now that I've got the wood cleaned out, I can kind of come in and with some clippers and kind of clip those things right off the root. Robertson County Landfill. They know me out there. In fact, if you go on Saturday morning, they've got some help crews from, you know, a correctional facility or whatever that'll unload your truck in like 5 minutes. It's awesome. You just got to be able to stand the smell. No. This had been sitting on the ground. No. I would have saved it for the camp if it was. There was one board I could salvage, and I left it with them. No, but he would let it lay on the ground, and there'd be like mice and stuff underneath it, and you know, he was complaining about the rabbits, and I'm like, well, dude, you've got, you know, you're creating habitat back here. Anyway, so why does he teach in parables? It's because they really don't want to know. They have to actually want it. They have to dig. They have to understand. But the bottom line is they don't want to change. And so the larger point is, he quotes Isaiah 6, the larger point is that people have to till their soil. I never start a new bed without tilling the soil, without turning it over, applying some compost. And if you aren't willing to prepare your soil, then it's easy to have ears that cannot hear or eyes that cannot see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they have been very pharisaical, very structured, very law abiding. And he's coming in and just blowing all that. So maybe, perhaps, these parables, maybe he'll throw a parable out based on, do I need to tell them, okay, here's a new concept, love your neighbor, love your enemy, or are these guys going to learn from me telling these parables?
I love it. I love it. I know it's. That's why I love parables. There's so much mystery wrapped up in them. But they also have grown up, most of the boys, till the age of 12, until they have their bar mitzvah of trying to become a rabbi. And they would have had the Torah memorized by the age of 12. The culture is so different from ours that we kind of have to almost sometimes step into their shoes. And that's kind of what I meant about this Jewish hermeneutic. So, all right. So if here's the points. And this is where I think having a good background in the Old Testament is so important. As I talked about Jewish boys, as they become men, they have to know the Torah, front to back. So the question is, Glenn, if you are the path, you're the pathy soil, and you need to till your soil, if Jesus was asking us to prepare our soil, where would we turn? In the text. And this is another cool thing we're going to talk about. It's called a remez. It's part of these parables and a rabbinical teaching. Was that if we knew our Old Testament, we would know that a pathy soil comes from Hosea 10:12. So if somebody would turn there real quick, Maybe I can get ahead of this because we're kind of running out of time. We want to go somebody to Isaiah 5:24, and somebody else to Jeremiah 4:3-4. But Hosea 10:12 gives us the answer for how do we prepare a soil for the pathy soil. Does somebody have that? Unplowed ground, what do? You sow righteousness, you sow generosity. That's the answer. That word is Zedekah, and I've got it spelled wrong. It's T-Z-E-D-A-K-A-H, Zedekah. Sow righteousness, okay? The Rocky, Isaiah 5:24. It's 5:24, I messed up on the slide. So we're talking about shallow roots there. And what do we do? He says they've ignored the law of the Lord, so we are to put all of our resources in the law of the Lord. Jesus had, and if we were able to continue this study out, and we would look at the parables of Jesus, because I've done this through this podcast, Jesus will actually refer to Ezekiel the most. And so I kind of keep coming back to Con. You know, we listen to Con for 6 weeks at a time, and we keep hammering on some of these Old Testament places in the text. Jesus uses this stuff as an underlying girder to his teachings, okay? So if we want deep roots, put our resources in the law of the Lord. And a good visual for that is Psalm 1:1. Where we plant streams by living water, by streams of living water. That's more than one stream. And the great example here is the acacia tree in the desert. In the desert, this tree has got roots that probably would be 3 or 4 times the size of what you see up here. But what a great tree to have in the desert because of all the shade that it provides. And when it's a drought time, this thing might even look dead. But it's still living under the ground. So go look up the acacia tree and its root system. And then real quick, because we're running out of time, is the thorny ground. That's Jeremiah 4:3-4. Who's got that? Was it 3 and 4? That's pretty stout. Jeremiah here is directly dealing with idolatry. And that's what the essence of the thorny ground is. We're too consumed with the worldly worries of the world. And so what does he say? He says, circumcise your heart. Yeah, so that's Remez. We're going to get into more of that next week. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do to prepare our soil? We need to examine ourselves, right? We're not going to talk about the good soil. We'll talk about that next week because I want to kind of leave this as a little bit of a cliffhanger. But there are four things we're going to talk about next week is what Peshat is. That's the surface level understanding of Scripture. We've got Remez, which is actually the next level deeper, where you actually are applying the Old Testament reference to that, whether or not your footnotes tell you that it's there or not. That's where it comes to knowing this Old Testament text. We're going to look at the Drash, and then we're going to look at the Sod. Those are the four kind of methods of interpreting, especially parables from the Jewish rabbinic teaching. Just so you know, none of this is original. This is actually where all the information comes from. I moved into the New Testament today. This guy spends a whole 10 or 15 weeks just going over the setup of what's going on in the New Testament before he even ever gets into the Jewish teaching. So, Joey, come take it away from us. Happy Father's Day, guys.
I've been looking at that the whole time.
Going blind.
All right. Just quickly, because I know you fathers are just going to get treated today just to so much good stuff, and you got to get out and get to that. Yeah, my choice of restaurant has been, I'm like third now. So there was a little video I saw the other day that was talking about Mother's Day. It's talking about Father's Day versus Mother's Day, and that Christmas is the most celebrated holiday. Mother's Day is the second most celebrated holiday, and Father's Day was the 20th most celebrated holiday. And the guy goes, I can't even think of, he said 18, I think there's only 17, but 17 other holidays that would fit in there. He said Arbor Day is in there. Don't even know what Arbor Day is, and it's more celebrated. It's like 13th. So anyway, happy Father's Day to you guys. Just want to leave you on a good note. All right, birthdays. Darlene was last week. We didn't sing to her because we were going to sing to her this week. That's what Jeff said. So, Mary, you're going to be all by yourself today. Because, Mary, it is yours today, right? I mean, this week.
I will be at Baja this Saturday.
Right, but you're going to be sung to this week. If Darlene was in here, we were going to bring her from last week. But anyway, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mary. Happy birthday to you. All right. Prayer requests. Mary.
Yes, my really, really awesome BFF, Patsy Williams. Same age as me. She tripped on a stair, broke her ankle, and she laid later. And she is having surgery Tuesday in Dixon. Patsy Williams. And they're going to put in screws and plate in her right ankle. Left ankle years and years ago to do the exact same thing. She already has screws and plates in that ankle. So now she's going to have a matching pair. But she's been so
excited. Ow. All right. All right. We'll keep her on a prayer list.
Jeff and Darlene, did Jeff lose an ant?
Jeff did. Yeah, they were in church this morning, but I'm sure that's probably where they've gone. Jeff lost an ant this week.
Baja trip.
Yeah, we need to pray for those going on the Baja trip. Shannon, or anybody know about Cherry Williams? Any update on her? Okay, or as far as just. I know you were just bringing her up from all the stuff she's going through. Keep her in. Lynn?
Hunter Burnett texted me this morning. It was a year ago today that we got to his dad upstairs. So he texted me this morning just about tore me up. So anyway, just knew that he's kind of struggling today. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like forever ago when that happened, and it was just a year ago. To D.C.?
They're going to D.C. to represent the JROTC in the academic Super Bowl, the one of 16 teams in the globe that are selected. So, and then also, about an hour or two later, I have to have a slight procedure, so I'll be out for most of the day Friday. Just pray that all goes well and I wake up and I don't cause her too much pain or suffering.
You seem to be good at that. I mean, you had the foot issue there for a while. I'm sure you couldn't get up to make a sandwich or anything. I like how he calls it a procedure.
Well, the doctors call it, when you admit to the hospital, they put you under general anesthesia. They call that a procedure.
Oh, well.
She calls it a test.
Yeah.
Potato, potato.
Yeah.
Lynn, what would you call it?
I'm going to sleep. I'd call it a procedure.
Okay.
Well,
there you go.
I think I've had done before, so to me, it's just a test.
My first
guess.
This is merely a test. What do you say I messed it?
Yeah,
right. Anybody else?
Lynn is
back. That's right. That's right. That's right. And then Mark had. Did we ever figure out if he was having or if have had? He was. I saw him here this morning. Yeah. So, patted him on the back really good. Yeah.
Real low. Real low.
Hey, get him right. Get him right around the belt line. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Have I forgotten anything? Probably not. I do have something written on here. Kelly's dad. Went well, everything went well? Okay, good. All right. I'm going to ask Chris Neighbors to, if he would, say the prayer. You did agree to that earlier, didn't you? I know there's sometimes people, you know, people after church are coming down here and they're like, oh, let Joey go on. He was walking down the staircase with me and I went, hey, you haven't prayed in a while. And he was like, oh, man. No, he was actually really good. All right, Chris.